influencers, as they're called, people that post blogs and vlogs and that kind of stuff on the internet.
They forced the Prime Minister of Lebanon to go on Saudi TV and demur against his own policy.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the kind of power they have. And it's very interesting because Saudi holds this power and it has done. What the whole world is afraid of is the 1970s oil crisis. That's what the problem is here. Saudi leads OPEC. So we have a country that is effectively in charge of all the oil production, that can change the price of oil whenever it wants, to restrict the amount of barrels that it produces. And it has a huge impact on the kind of global oil and the markets as a result. So that's what people are fearing. So that's what we've got to remember, is that Saudi has that power. Now, if we move away, and we'll be talking about this a little bit later on in the show, obviously with the fracking and with the environmental, the intergovernmental environmental change
and
plan.
And the climate change issue.
And the climate change issue. If we move away from fossil fuels into renewable energy, how much power then do we give Saudi? And how much business do we have? And the clip that we played of Donald Trump and Abdelbari Atwan's comment about the financials of these deals are also very, very important.
Thanks for that, Tamar. Tell me what you think, dear listeners. 0344.
Bad DJ, but this is the Mouse Report, and this is, let me think, 49ers 51-50 to hell. What would that be? Oh, in the 5 and dime, 510-495-1666. And I'm back to, well, in horror, Thomas did not. Here's the, let me figure it out.
Richard Walensky. Anyway, he starts it by saying, no, we're not free speech. We want a break. But I'm skipping the part where Vic is sitting next to me September 15th, saying they've got a good online. But I want my little remark, which we'll get to, but
bye.
No. Is that going to be on there, right?
Hey, our computer just went down, our DJ computer. I'm going to go straight back there and make an audio tape of this and broadcast it.
You can't download their recording.
Uh-huh.
That's my problem.
Well, that's true. But it wouldn't have my
computer. It wouldn't have what?
Oh, my hat hole.
Yeah. Maybe just want to go with that.
For any other of these... you wouldn't happen to have an MP3 player that would kind of have I do, but I don't know how to set it to play continuously.
You know, last time I came, August 18th, I came here, and I defied them.
Oh, you were the guy behind the camera.
And I put 6 videotapes up on it.
Yeah.
Two or YouTube.
And the last couple had the security boom. Yeah.
All that, too.
Oh, yeah.
That was put up and embedded at the Millwise Radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I moved the Bonnie section.
You did what?
The first Bonnie was made of me for putting her up.
Oh.
On YouTube. She called me up and she said, you're making my situation into a circus.
Well, and I said, who put that ice in your head? You can understand how there would be more friction out of the whole shebang. And I don't know.
Anyway, she changed her mind and said, go ahead and put it up.
Well, she looked very chagrined when I said, you want to distance yourself from the comments I made on my personal mouse report? Because, you know, okay, Hunter Thompson said, you know, Rotten and Slimeball have no place in serious political debate. Right, of course, he had to use them describing Nixon in his obituary. Well, I mean, there's a time and a place for certain things. Let's back off of all that and let her be, I mean, okay, if you read that goddamn piece that the MFB bosses put out, they convict themselves because what the Nazi pig is saying is the ICRJ and Israel are guilty of crimes.
Hey, if you got a report, why don't you get a copy of those papers?
Okay, I will. Okay,
hi,
thanks.
Whoops, end of file. Let me hit pause.
If that was four, what would two be?
Anyway, that was Vic Sido, who just died, and he was going to do he was working on the War and Law League, with the War and Law League, and I just wanted to coin, hit the wall, we stick to you, Black Cube, what you up to? No relation to Dirty Dylan, but just about to play, knock on wood. Hello, hello? Let me look at my little speaker thingy-jobbies and go to the mixer thingy-jobby. I see something here. Maybe I should just shut up and... Back to George Galloway, because they were talking about 1973. That was the oil embargo. Speaking of tearing it apart, if you take a VW, tear everything off, and then put on a 3.5 foot high fiberglass body. You call it a Formula V. You can drive from Klamath Falls to Sacramento on 7 gallons of gas. That's 350 miles, like 50 miles a gallon. So that was 1973. I could do it because I could drive 45 because all the gas stations were closed. And that was the year that Gaddafi was the last to drop the oil embargo, first to put Tim Osman on the wanted list.
In March, his communications were cut off. Now, I find the timing of his communications being cut off in March really interesting, because they said it was because he was outspoken with regards to the goings-on in Catalonia, in Spain.
And leave us not forget that that's where Spain just, and the European Union said, fuck all you voters, you know, you think this is a democracy, bullshit. This is a dictatorship of the shepherd class. Anyway, Barcelona, Catalonia rather,
Well, I'm just going to run off the rails while I keep talking. So let me just go back to Gordon Dimmick talking about Ecuador giving Julian Assange his internet access back. And when it was cut off, Spain was in the middle of throttling democracy, and the EU was going along with it. So, of course, they don't want any WikiLeaks to go along with that. And Spain has a lot of leverage over the Western Hemisphere and Latin America, especially. So back to Gordon Dimmick.
And that's the reason why they cut off his communications. But remember, this was all during the same time as the whole Skripal affair was falling down around the UK's ears.
Exactly. Because, of course, the Skripals didn't die. It's obviously not lethal. They're blaming a state actor who can't even use a lethal dosage. Well, of course, the incapacitating dosage is 1/400th of the lethal dosage. In other words, you can give them 400 people. You could get 400 people incapacitated, and you could give that much to just a single person without killing them. That's what we're dealing with, because what is it? It's a muscarinic acetylcholine receptor. Yes. So the acetylcholine is the receptor in the vegetative system. So if you have an inhibitor, then it's going to inhibit you from vegetating, which it's like that's what nightshade does, deadly nightshade atropine. And in fact, if you inhibit the vegetative system, it will prevent things which leave it in the jammed and the on position, namely acetylcholinesterase inhibitor. Yeah. So it's all pesticides, organophosphate, sarin, VX, Novichok, they all work the same. The pests have the same little nervous system transmitter. It's called acetylcholine. It breaks it down into vinegar, acetic acid, and choline, one of your essential amino acids. So if you inhibit the enzyme that breaks it apart, you will leave it active in your receptor, and it'll leave it jammed in the on position. And if you think along the same lines, if you have something that blocks the receptor, it will mean that whole system can't be jammed in the on position, so it's effectively an antidote. That's why deadly nightshade is the antidote to these pesticides. And it doesn't make sense, except that you think, well, it doesn't directly dilate your pupils. Even though that's what belladonna means, beautiful lady takes this thing that dilates her pupils, and the dudes think that she's interested in them. That's how stupid we are, guys. But anyway, that's how I guess the name. So if you're interested in someone and you're looking at them, your pupils dilate, okay? And it makes the person appear attractive, because everybody likes to be paid attention to. So, you know, we don't like to be ignored. We like to be paid attention. Someone's seeming to pay us attention. Maybe they just took this thing that prevents the blocking of their vegetative system, so it automatically jams your... It's like the way coffee doesn't directly release adrenaline, you know. What it does is it blocks the ATP, adenosine triphosphate. Yeah, so atropine is something entirely different than adenosine, even though they're spelled similarly. But adenosine is part of ATP, your energy battery. And you have three phosphates on this adenosine. Well, when the phosphates are all used up, then this adenosine is clogging up your bloodstream, and your body says it's time to go to sleep and scrub it out and recharge your ATP. Now, we have oxidative phosphorylation. Plants have photophosphorylation, right? So we eat the plants, we oxidate the plants, and that's how we get this proton motive force across this membrane, and that's how we run. So anyway, the coffee works by blocking that waste product receptors, and you think, oh, my bloodstream's all clean, so I'll go charging off, even though I don't really have that energy. I think I do. But so it's kind of a similar manner that the ATP, the adenosine, that's the energy thing. It's atropine. Oh, yeah. The antidote is in deadly nightshade. And the this whole Skripal affair, they don't know the most fundamental. I mean, you listen to BBC, they talk about hormones. They don't even talk about cholinergic agents, okay? Now, both the antidote and the poison are both cholinergic agents. And early on, I was saying, well, we should be looking to things that don't just kickstart your fight flight. And I thought that's what the atropine did, but no. And as I learned, it's not a sympathetic nervous system stimulant. It's a vegetative nervous system block. So it's essentially the same thing. Anyway, that's why it's the antidote. And that's why the scribbles are alive. And that's why all these media talking about it don't even talk to people that know their ass from hole in the ground. Well, okay, I did get 98th percentile in the science section of the MCAT. I did get an A+ in upper division organic chemistry, but I didn't get $20 to send in with my medical school application. That would have required a loan, and I might as well spare the conversation about that. But, oh yes, we were going to go back to Gordon Dimmick talking about Julian Assange. Yes.
And
bye, Greg.
Just before the trilateral bombing of Syria and everything else that has gone on in between, the silencing of voices, the silencing of independent voices on social media, yada, yada, yada. I don't need to go into it. You can see where I'm going here. The silencing of Assange, the timing of it is really curious. So when I see this, Julian Assange's communications partly restored by Ecuadorian government, literally an hour and a half ago, I got goosebumps. I was giddy. I really was. For any of you who are just... Let me just try and imagine, okay? Put yourself in his shoes. He has been in solitary confinement for 7 months. That is torture. It's torture. Prison guards say that when they walk down the isolation ward in prisons, they can hear people wailing because of the torture they're going through. The only contact he's got is with his lawyer. And obviously on a weekend, that's it, the whole weekend, nothing. No communication with the outside world, no phones, no internet, nothing. Nothing whatsoever. And finally, something has happened. So this is from the Belfast Telegraph. The first newspaper to report on this today was the Daily Mail, and I had that set up, but I took it out as soon as other newspapers started reporting on it. So this is what the story is so far. The Ecuadorian government has decided to partly restore communications for WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. They were cut in March, denying him access to the internet or phones and limiting visitors to members of his legal team. He has been living inside Ecuador's embassy in London for over 6 years. The Ecuadorian government said in March it had acted because Mr. Assange had breached a written commitment made to the government at the end of 2017 not to issue messages that it might interfere with other states. WikiLeaks said in a statement, quote, Ecuador has told WikiLeaks publisher Julian Assange that it will remove the isolation regime imposed on him following meetings between two senior UN officials and Ecuador's president, Lenin Moreno, on Friday. This is from Christine Hansen. I can never pronounce her name. She said this, it is positive that through UN intervention, Ecuador has partly ended the isolation of Mr. Assange, although it is of grave concern that his freedom to express his opinions is still limited. The UN has already declared Mr. Assange a victim of arbitrary detention. This unacceptable situation must end. The UK government must abide by the UN's ruling and guarantee that he can leave the Ecuadorian embassy without the threat of extradition to the United States. Hear, hear. Mr. Assange has been granted political asylum by Ecuador, but believes he will be arrested if he leaves the embassy and extradited to the United States for questioning over the activities of WikiLeaks. Remember, WikiLeaks is a journalistic operation. This is an assault on journalism. WikiLeaks said Mr. Assange has not entered into any form of agreement with Ecuador to restrict his speech or other rights. I always found it interesting. I always thought there's no way Julian Assange would agree to that. His lawyers are considering his legal options and will make a statement in due course. The WikiLeaks statement said that the meetings were held in Ecuador between the president of the UN High Commissioner and refugees Filippo Grandi and UN Special Rapporteur for the Freedom of Expression, David Kaye. It said concern over Assange's situation has been raised by other UN bodies as well as Human Rights Watch, who was refused access to him. Amnesty International, the Inter-American Court on Human Rights, Ecuador's Permanent Human Rights Commission, and public protests. Quote, Mr. Assange was informed of Ecuador's decision hours after Mr. Grandi and Mr. Kaye met with President Moreno. President Moreno ordered Mr. Assange's isolation on March 28th in retaliation for giving, quote, opinions on the politics of friendly nations like Spain or the United States. The statement continued, quote, Mr. Assange had critically reported on the Trump administration's involvement in Yemen and Spanish brutality. High-level representations were made by the Trump administration and the Spanish government over Mr. Assange, which was given political refugee status by Ecuador in 2012 over U.S. attempts to prosecute him.
Is considering a resolution in support of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. You might think that this would be a slam dunk to get this through, but it's not going to be. Just as the whole country has moved to the right, so has Pacifica.
Yeah.
Plus, there's Trump derangement syndrome. Pacifica, and I know KPFA best, has a case of Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah.
The absolute refusal to tolerate nuance or anything but opposition to Donald Trump characterized lots of left-of-center politics, which used to tolerate a lot more nuance. The danger we have there, fiercely anti-Trump, I don't really want to call them lefties, but let's say Democrats, might say, well, Julian Assange cost Hillary the election because he leaked these emails. And the emails came from Russia. That has never been proven. And then he said,
Well, Hillary won in California in the primary against Bernie. I don't think that was rigged. That was a vote in California.
No, I think rigged is, I mean, you know, they were trying to spin it in their direction. But, you know, I think rigged is too strong a word to use. The Democratic establishment had its thumb on the scale.
Technically not possible to have downloaded that amount of information via a hack. And it had to be something that was done locally. Downloaded onto a thumb drive.
I don't know. Who knows? I mean, that's the way I feel about a lot of this. So who knows whether it was a thumb drive or some fiendish hackers in Moscow that are responsible for the WikiLeaks.
Oh, yeah, I just remembered the other thing. So, Seth Rich, we have the Russophobic McCarthy, neo-McCarthyism as a cover-up to that murder that is really the tip of the ice to the jihadi death squad funding, the Saudi thing, and the election theft, the Bernie theft, the primary, and the black box whole scam, but somewhere in here is Steve Zelser asking about the secret program council. So, how do we get our program suggestions aired? And I think this is Kevin. Yes, this is. Oh, I mean Steve Zelser. Excuse me, Kevin Cartwright is the secret program council. Well, he's the interim, like, dude, but.
Again and again, and that's my concern, that there be a process, and we know and ignore what the process is.
Well, we no longer can see the process because Vic, that pesky no lies guy, is no longer going to be there to document there.
I just want to say that I had a personal conversation with the general manager McCoy, and I did hear about the steps that were taken to, and I do believe due process was followed. I mean, I don't want to get into trouble. I mean, that was email, but who knows whether it's valid or not. And I'm not going to start going on the record saying.
Item 5, dissolving the Secret Program Council. I urge this body to vote no. We must never dissolve the Secret Program Council.
Why not?
We need a Secret Program Council to make program changes secretly.
Program changes should be open, fair, and transparent.
Yeah, right. We tried having open, fair, and transparent program changes, and it didn't work.
Yes, it did.
Did not.
Did too.
Did not.
Excuse me, I have a new program idea.
Go ahead.
My program proposal is to...
I don't want to hear about it.
But I need a range of programs to choose from.